Okay, you're calling on behalf of Orange Network, all right?
Yeah, and I'm sure that you're using a mobile phone.
Yes, I am.
And could you please tell me, is that a pay-as-you-go or contract phone?
I don't really use the phone a lot. In fact, I only use it when I'm arranging sort of meetings for the podcast, the Youngins podcast. You've probably heard of that.
It's on pay-as-you-go, right?
Yes, it's pay-as-you-go, yes.
And Lima is spending around £10 every month?
Well, as I say, I only use it when I'm arranging meetings for the Youngins podcast. I suppose that's... I use the landline a lot, because it's better quality for when you're recording for the Youngins podcast. We've probably noticed the quality, actually.
Yeah, I do understand that. No, fantastic, Mr. Eagle.
Yes?
I understand you're a very sensible person where you're spending very less on your mobile phone. But Mr. Eagle, let me tell you that I have an offer for you today.
Right, okay.
Let me start off with, like, you use a landline phone a lot.
I use it for the Youngins podcast.
Okay.
Talking.
You make a bit calls from your landline phones, right? So let me tell you one thing. Let me start off with this thing that if you go on to the mobile company and ask any mobile company, be it Orange, O2, Vodafone, anything, they will inform you that according to the research which the mobile companies have done, we have found out that when you make a call from a landline or a BT landline phone, you are charged excessively on your calls.
If you use a computer to call, a computer system, then you're only actually paying the optimum fee, the minimum fee, which would be in this case sort of like 0.1.
Yeah, but again, the minimum fee is a lot, right?
Well, it's not really.
Forget about the landline.
One of the pence.
Let me talk about the offer which I'm
giving. I've got to go. I'm afraid, my friend. I've got to record for the Youngins podcast.
Just 30 seconds.
All right, 30 seconds. Just 30 seconds.
Okay. I am giving you a Motorola S6 video camera mobile phone free.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With 200 minutes of anytime, any network calls free.
Yeah.
75 text messages free.
Yeah.
And 50 Orange to Orange off peak minutes as well, every single month.
Okay. 10 seconds.
Get the phone once.
Yeah.
You get the phone once. You get 200 minutes free, 75 text, 50 Orange to Orange off peak minutes every month.
Yeah.
3 months of insurance is free for you. Anything happens with the phone, we are compensating.
I'm sorry. Time up.
Chicky, chicky, ba ba.
Welcome. Icky, chicky, ba ba. Icky, chicky, ba ba. Icky, chicky, piggy, wiggy, icky, chicky, ba ba.
Welcome, the new boy.
Youngins podcast. Previously on the Youngins podcast.
I don't sound boring on the podcast.
You don't sound boring.
It depends on what mood I'm in.
No, Mr. Kennedy. You're absolutely fine. It doesn't need a bit of encouragement we can do. Is.
Tony Chestnut knows I love him. Tony knows. Tony knows.
It's a good podcast this week, isn't it? Very little Michael Hughes. Yeah, you see, we do listen to your feedback, listeners. I think suggesting that we string him up by his testicles was a little bit harsh, though, to be fair. Off, you gain little.
Ah. Hong Kong, crash, but beep, woo, crash, beep, beep.
It's the Youngins Podcast. 110 coming up.
Ian, Python, I know this sounds a bit perverse, but how long are you?
Why is Sean Cooney sounding so perverse? Well, it's not technically Sean, it is Sean encapsulating the spirit of Anansi the Spider as we present you with another story exclusive to the Youngins podcast after the success of Iggy Jiggy Bar Bar, everyone's favourite dancing sheep. I did say on the last podcast everyone's soon to be favourite dancing sheep, but I think we can probably safely say now everyone's favourite dancing sheep. We'll hear from Sean Cooney about Anansi the Spider and about his new website, and we'll also hear the story itself. As I say, exclusive. Remember that, exclusive to the Youngins podcast. You can get your hands on whatever you want, Rupert Murdoch. Get it to Sky, but you can't take Sean Cooney away from us. Also,
my favourite sweet is a bonbon.
Last time it was Sean Cooney introducing us to weird songs, but this time it's Michael Hughes as he introduces us to the song A Yo-Ho-Ho and A Pom-Pom-Pom. Keep your comments to yourself, goes the old maxim, but not on the Young'uns podcast, we don't. They say to is human, but for the Young'uns, to E seems more likely. Myself and Sean Cooney partake in some synchronous phonem delivery.
How did you start off?
That is a frequent question that people ask us, and that particular instance of the question was posed at a Meet the Young'uns event as part of some festival or other. I can't remember the exact one, but we had a Meet the Young'uns event where people could ask us questions. And you'll hear that question again, but not only will you hear the question, you shall also hear the answer to that question in this Young'uns podcast. Plus, we'll play a recording from a rather incendiary Young'uns gig, The Tables Nearly Turned. Music-wise, we have another track from the Young'uns latest album, When Our Grandfathers Said No, and we also have music from Megson, whose new album has been released this month. But not only do we play two songs from that album, but we also talk to Stu and Debs from Megson about the album, as well as covering some more miscellaneous topics. And we have some new exciting jingles. Hip-hop jingles, courtesy of the amazing MC Squared, which is why the 110th Young'uns podcast is called MC Squared Represents. All, as is customary on the Young'uns podcast, will be revealed.
And here we are, and here we are, and here we go. All aboard the Young'uns show, here we go. We're folking all over the world. And yes, we hope that you like it, 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 like the Young'uns podcast.
Like it,
we're folking all over the world.
So you like it, baby,
we're folking all over the world.
We're going to start with a song from the Young'uns' new album, When Our Grandfathers Said No. This is a French shanty created by a friend of ours that we met at an international shanty festival called Philippe. Yes, I know. A rather unusual name for a Frenchman, that's what I thought. And on the last Young'uns podcast, we talked about Stu Hanna from Megson, who will be on later, who produced the album, and his enthusiasm for stamping. And for percussion, there's a lot of stamping and percussion on this song, and Stu is very keen to get us stamping on things and banging various bits and pieces. You know, we sat around in the studio and he would kind of get things out and he'd say, oh, here, look at this, David, try giving that a smack, have a bang on that. And I'd say, that's a bit inappropriate, Stu, we hardly know each other. All right, then here, and then he'd get a drum out. So here we are, banging and stamping aplenty. This is Pique la Baleine.
Pour retrouver ma dose à mes.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la.
Pour retrouver ma dose à mes.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine. Pique la Baleine, je vous navigue. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine. Pique la Baleine, je vous navigue.
Au mille mètres, j'ai navigué.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la.
Au mille mètres, j'ai navigué.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine. Pique la Baleine, je vous navigue. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine. Pique la Baleine, je vous navigue.
Le maintenant dans mes douceurs.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la.
Le maintenant dans mes douceurs.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine. Pique la Baleine, je vous navigue. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine. Pique la Baleine, je vous navigue.
Dans les grandes fontaines, mes spurs.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la.
Dans les grands fondels m'espérez.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine. Pique la Baleine, je vous navigue. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine. Pique la Baleine, je vous navigue.
Coupe à l'homme, sous couchet.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la.
Pas de me suis couché.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine. Pique la Baleine, je vous navigue. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine. Pique la Baleine, je vous navigue.
Pour retrouver ma douce mère.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la.
Pour retrouver ma douce mère.
Oh, mes boy, alors, oh, la, la. Pique la Baleine, jolie baleine.
I don't, you see, there's a bang in there that I don't recognise in the middle of that song. And I think what happened was Stu, because I said on the last podcast, he was desperate, I think, to have a go, because he was saying things like, oh, I think my shoes are better for stamping. And I'd say, but this is our album, Stu. You know, you can have a go if you want. Oh, no, I don't want to have a go. I'm just saying my shoes are better. Maybe we should swap shoes. And then he'd say, oh, bang like this. And he said, you know, like, give me the rhythm and I'd do it. And he'd say, and I'd do exactly what Stu told me. He said, bang this rhythm. And I'd bang the rhythm. Say, have you tried that, David? Bang that instead of... I'd do something like this. And Stu would go, yeah, it's good, but maybe you should try going... That's exactly what I did, Stu. And I think deep down, what he was trying to basically say was he wanted to go. He wanted a bang, and I can hear. And I remember exactly what I did on the drums and the stamping. And there's an errant stamp in there. And I think Stu kind of thought, oh, I'll just have a go. He won't notice. I'll have a little stamp. I'll just overdub it. I noticed, Stu. I noticed. Anyway, we've been doing quite a few interviews of recent. We've been getting quite a bit of press about the new album. And we've had to answer some rather odd questions, including recently I've had to answer, what is your favourite sandwich? And I refused to answer that question. I've said if they listen to the 111th Young'uns podcast, then we shall give them the exclusive on that. So that's something to look forward to, listeners. What's the Young'uns favourite sandwich? Well, I mean, presumably we will all have different sandwiches. We might discover, though, that we all have the same sandwich preference. How liberating will that be if we all discover that not only are we united through folk music, but also united through the love of one sandwich? So it could be a really heartwarming, moving moment. But we'll reveal that on the Young'uns podcast next time. But another question that keeps cropping up, perhaps a bit more predictably, is how did you meet? How did you get started? And that question was asked at a Meet the Young'uns event at a festival this year. Here is a man, you've already heard him, but let's hear him again, asking that very question, which is followed by our answer. Just a bit of an experiment on the Young'uns podcast. The question followed by the answer. Here it is.
How did you start off?
Yeah. You asked that before we asked you to ask a question. How did we start off? We were all 17 when we first went in our local folk club. And on the first night I went in there, my college principal was there. He said, you are in the second year of college, aren't you? You are 18. I said, oh, yeah. I got really into kind of Dylan and American folk when I was about 16, and then through that discovered English folk, and in particular my local folk club in Stockton, and we all started going down there, didn't we, when we
were 18. I think that's what galvanised us to do it, because I think what happened was we went to the Sun Inn and in Stockton, and we just, the idea of all these people who've just come from, you know, their days at work and things like that, just sort of getting together in a pub, and rather than just drinking, joining these songs that we'd never heard before, collectively all knowing the songs and just joining in with chorus harmonies and things like that, and it was just, and the telling anecdotes and jokes and things like, it was just...
And just like, yeah, like, and forgetting the words as well.
It's not real for us when we get it from.
But just singing away, you know, and getting really emotional and going, bugger. And someone at the bar shouting out the words, oh yeah, cheers, and all that. Now when we like take friends of ours to folk clubs who have not been before, and like particularly big singing clubs, and when someone hears for the first time, like, you know, 40 voices around them, all know the words, are all coming in harmonies, it's just the look on people's faces when they see that, it's something to behold, really. I suppose it's like going to a football match for the first time, for me it was, and hearing like lots of people singing, and that's what Billy Connolly said, I think, that when you went to the football, you went, how do people not know all these songs? You know, is there some like night class they go to? It's like tribal, it's instinctive.
So I think we just wanted to be a part of it, I suppose, and just thought we really want to sing. The trouble is we didn't really know any songs in that time. So we sort of said, oh yeah, we'll sing a song. And
well,
so
Dave's first song was, yeah, it was an epic. It was called Yo Ho Ho and a Pom Pom Pom.
You didn't know any folk songs, you thought you'd write one, Lewis.
Yeah, I thought it shows.
Oh yeah, this is how it went. It used to go, these are the words to my new folk song with a yo-ho.
You're not better than me.
Exactly. And then his second line was even more epic and revolutionary. He says, cos my favourite sweet is a bonbon. Then he decided, I'll tell you what, I'm going to...
Do you not remember this, dude? When your solo album...
Everyone was completely stunned, even me, and I did it 10 times before. And he went... And he went... Anti-disestablishmentarianism with a...
There were many people at that time, and quite rightfully so, as I say, who absolutely
hated you.
No, hated us. Yes, it was. This one man, he stopped coming to the folk club that he's been going to for 40 years. So then we went to... No, it definitely was, because then he went to Durham, and he moved to a new local folk club, because we said, oh, he's got the one at Durham. Yeah. So then we went to the one at... Went to this one in Durham, which he'd never been to before, called the Coal Pits. Absolutely brilliant place. And and he came round the corner in his car, and just thinking, oh, have a great night, nothing
best.
And he saw us.
Wait, sorry,
he saw us.
Can we just clarify?
He saw us, and he did like a double take and went off.
I've never seen anybody go down like this street, this really narrow street, 8 miles an hour before, because he just kind of turned in, looked, and then went. As you were, as you walked past, you were giving him a wave and going, anti-disestablishment.
Well, we didn't get back. I mean, this is surely this. You can understand this as a joke. I said to him once, right? I said, you're playing the spoons, and I went, I think you're playing the spoons in the wrong key, there, mate. It's like a joke, you know. I was a drunken 17-year-old. I thought that was reasonably funny, and he went, how dare you? I've been playing the spoons in this folk club for 40, and he wouldn't talk to me ever again. Goodness.
It's so funny because we didn't join in at first. I mean, if you don't know the words and stuff, you know, you feel a bit like just naturally like intimidated a bit. But Dave was, after a couple of pints, he had this. The only instrument he had at the time was one of those like toy organs with a big picture.
So he had it. Picture of Mickey Mouse on the back.
He had it in his top pocket, and every now and again, the phone would be just in the gun.
I remember Tom McConville once when he played at Stockton Folk Club was playing like a lovely ballad. It was a beautiful ballad on his own, and all of a sudden Dave, you could see him.
Came in with some haunting harmonies.
Oh, like, yes. You could just see him kind of just slowly reaching. And then all of a sudden.
Our first forays into alcohol mixed with going into a folk club with staunch traditional folk singers was a recipe for disaster, really, wasn't it?
You don't know the etiquette, do you?
No, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
I remember you getting told off once in Newcastle for going like this.
Tearing my legs, yeah. Well, it wasn't actually my legs, so...
Didn't speak to you ever again.
Four is into sex, alcohol, and folk music. What a book that would be.
If you follow us on Twitter or add us on Facebook, then we'll be posting all of those links to new interviews and articles about us, and you can read slightly different versions of more or less exactly the same thing over and over again until you go insane. Brilliant. You can follow the Young'uns on Twitter at The Young'uns Trio. And while we're on the subject of Twitter, why not give me a little follow as well? At The David Eagle, that's me. And at Storyteller Sean, I believe. Just type in Sean Cooney, look for Storyteller Sean on Twitter. So there's three people there. Information overload, for goodness sake. I know. We can't take all that information in, David. What we really need right now is some hip-hop, just sort of calm our nerves down a little bit. Well, that's good. I'm glad you said that, because here is some hip-hop now. A new hip-hop jingle from MC Squared. Now, I'll explain the provenance of this. I was with a friend, and he said, just speak anything. So I just sort of, he said, just for about 20 seconds, just speak now. So I started speaking, I just said something random, and then he got his phone, and he pressed a button, and it started playing a a hip-hop beat, and then what I had said was rhythmically intertwined with the music. It was synchronized with the actual hip-hop music, and it was kind of stuttering what I was saying a little bit and stuff like that, and it sort of turned it into a hip-hop song. So I thought, we've got to use this app. It's called AutoRap. And I thought, right, I've got to do some jingles for the Young'uns podcast for this. Absolutely brilliant. So I have morphed into MC Squared. MC Squared is my MC pseudonym, or nom de plume. That's what I think they use in hip-hop. I know all the vernacular, as you'll hear when I morph from a folk musician into a hip-hop artist. It's quite a painful process having to morph in between from the folk singer to MC Squared, but it's well worth the effort, as you'll hear, as you listen to my first of three hip-hop jingles for the Young'uns podcast. So this is jingle number one from MC Squared. Wiggity whack. Booyah. Brap, brap, brap. Let's get jiggy with it, homies. Yeah.
Check this out, motherfuckers. Yo, yo, what up, motherfuckers? This is MC Squared representing the Young'uns podcast. Check this out, what? What? Yo, we're fucking all over the world, baby. The Young'uns podcast. What? What? This is gangster. Check this out, motherfuckers. Yo, yo, what up, motherfuckers? This is MC Squared representing the Young'uns podcast. Check this out, what? What? Yo, we're fucking all over the world, baby. The Young'uns podcast. What? What?
There you are. Oh, yes. I have Mike Harding played us a couple of weeks ago on his folk show on Wednesday on BBC Radio 2. Perhaps he's listening. Perhaps he's become a proper fan of the Young'uns now, and he listens to the podcast and he's thinking, I'd love to play that on my folk show. Maybe I'll get away with it. Maybe on my last ever programme, I'll be able to do that. Or actually, we've been on Radio 2, we've been played on Radio 3, I think Radio 1 is next on our agenda, and I think maybe we won't get played for our folk music on Radio 1, but I'm sure Tim Westwood would, we could get MC Squared on Tim Westwood maybe. We've got to dream, you've got to dream, haven't you? I am rubbish at remembering where these recordings are taken from. I do apologise, I must make a note of them. But we're going to another folk club now. The Young'uns are performing rather close to the edge. Basically, we were doing a performance and we were standing on the stage, and then we realised that actually where I was standing wasn't the stage, it was actually a table, but it was just at the same level of the stage, and people were a little bit worried for my welfare. And Sean was in the middle of telling an anecdote or a story, and as you'll hear, hilarity ensued.
At the time I was writing it, it kind of wanted to sum up all the different feelings I was thinking about my hometown.
Just mind your foot.
You're right on the edge.
You're about to stand on a table.
Yeah. Yeah. The table's up.
This is a funny interactive thing we've got
to do. It's not so much the stage, it's a
bad dress. That's really good, because in some audiences, you see, it'll be overpowered by folk etiquette. You've never seen me fall off the stage.
We're worried about the table.
I don't know, Sean's story was that boring, you know? Look, you're moving closer to me, which we have.
You're going to get knocked in the teeth by the table.
Stand a bit far to the right, in front of the table, then.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I'll stand in the railway club. Right, here we
might
go.
Might
be better not on that
table. There's something wrong with that one as well. Well, is that a table as well?
Assessment.
Baby,
be trapped.
If I fall off, though, we'll sell more CDs.
there's a claim, don't
you? Coming up shortly, we've got Megson on the phone, and we got a couple of tracks from them. But first, it's time to talk to Mr. Cooney, who is on the phone right now. So, Transporters, Mr. Cooney, where are you at the moment? Transporters, you know, with your evocative mind that we're going to hear with the story shortly, we're to the place where we're talking.
Hey, where
from.
Am I? I'm kind of lying on my bed.
Stay on, Mr. Cooney. This is a family friendly podcast. Dear, dear.
It's a bed of work this afternoon.
A bed? even worse. Well, excellent. What are you doing on the bed?
I'm working on some new stories.
Wow, so this is where it's. Right. So this is this yeah. normally your kind of your place of creativity is the bed?
Yeah, often yeah. I was a bit bored of the desk, so I thought maybe kind of
keep things
thing would
yeah, keep things exciting. I think that's a good. I should. I tell you what, I might do a. I'm bored of the conventional way of doing the Young'uns podcast. We've done it in fairly the same way for most of the time. Maybe I should do it from the bed next week. Next time we do a podcast, we'll try that. We could have a whole bed podcast where I insist that all our guests are in bed as well. That should be, in fact, I think we might have Horizontal Sunday as a podcast guest.
Yes, well, that'd be perfect.
So that'd be perfect, wouldn't it? Excellent. There we go. Anyway, shall we talk about Anansi the Spider then? One of the stories that you created when you were. Did you write this yourself when you were at the desk?
A desk based. Yes, I can't remember where I was when I wrote it, but it was. What it is? It's an old story. It's. I was doing a project last year with some schools to celebrate. It was like the anniversary of Ghanaian independence. It was like 50 years, I think, since Ghana had become independent. I came across this great story, which I then realised is quite popular, about. Anansi the Spider, who's like a cunning trickster of a spider, and there's loads of stories about how he kind of deceives people and crafts little schemes, and they travel the world, and in different places he's known by a different name. So in Jamaica he's a woman, it's Aunt Nancy. Whereas in Africa, it's Anansi.
Excellent. Well, we shall hear the story then, and then we'll come back after the story, and we'll talk about your website, which is it's not a new website, but it's kind of launched with aplomb. Here's the story. Is this? If I press the button now, is that an apt enough introduction to the story? Yes, it is. Excellent. Here it is then.
Once upon a time when the world was new, an elephant slept in a mouse's shoe, and a lion and a wildebeest slept there too. Once upon a time when the world was new. Now Nwame, he was the king of the sky, and he slept up in the heavens high. And when he snored, thunder roared. And when he sneezed, he made a breeze. And when he twitched his little thumb, it made a thousand rivers run. And just when it was time for day, his big yawns blew the night away. Now at that time there was a spider, a hairy, leery little slider, but he was really sad. Because with the world being so new, there wasn't really much to do. I mean, no one had ever sang a song, or played a tune, or danced along, and there were no stories to be told. So he scampered up the highest tree and said in a voice not so twee, "Nwame, Nwame, tell us a tale."
"Oh, tell you a tale," Nwame said. "What do you want a tale for? You want 8 legs?"
And the spider, he said, "No."
"No," yawned Nwame. "What do you mean, now, you cheeky little hairy so-and-so?"
I mean, a story, a song, something to make me laugh or cry, something to make me live before I have to die."
Oh, I see. Well, what would you give in return to me?"
I'll spin you the biggest web that's ever been spun 44 times right round the sun."
"No, yawned Nwame, that would be no fun. No, you must bring 4 things to me. A snake, a leopard, a dwarf, and a bee, and then you shall have a tale."
Crikey, said the spider. How am I going to do that? I mean, I'm only little, and besides all that, those four things, they don't like me very much. And so when he went and asked them so, the four creatures all said, no. But he was so desperate to hear a tale, he said, I must make myself a plan that mustn't fail. So he scampered up to the snake at first, and he said, here, Python, I know this sounds a bit perverse, but how long are you? I am very long and very sleek. Yeah, I know you are, mate, but are you as long as this stick? I don't know. Well, if you'll kindly tie yourself to the bottom and the top, we'll see just how you measure up. But when the knots were both ends tied, the spider had him for a prize and he carried him away. Now next, with his eight legs, he began to dig a great big hole he covered with figs, and the leopard fell right in. Help me, help me, the leopard cried. Certainly, the spider replied, and he spun a silvery web. If you'll just kindly climb in here, I'll pull you from the danger clear. But when the leopard was bound up inside, the spider had him for a prize and he carried him away. Next he went to a place where few had ever been, a place where only dwarves are seen, and there beneath a golden tree he placed a pretty doll with glee. But he covered her glowing pinkish hue with lashings of sticky slimy glue. And a passing dwarf, being not very bright, said to the doll, you'll be my wife. But as he ventured for a deep embrace, his lips got stuck upon its face, and the spider carried him away. Now, to catch the flying buzzing bee, he took a leaf from a banana tree and he poured down water over a nest, shouting, here, here, it's raining, come on, you'll all get wet. I know what to do, just fly inside me calabash, it'll keep you from the splish, splosh, splash. But when a bee had flown inside, the spider had him for a prize and he carried him away. So what a sight it must have been to see a spider carrying a snake, a leopard, a dwarf and a bee. Noirme, he couldn't believe his eyes, but he came down from his sleepy skies and he summoned down the moon and the sun and he said, you should look what the little spider's done. And he put both hands upon his heart and he said, let the story telling start. And then over mountain, sea and plain, the little stories fell like rain. So when next you hear a tale being told, be it new or be it old, just remember the little eight-legged man. For that's how stories first began.
Sean Cooney with another story exclusive to the Young'uns podcast, Anansi the Spider. It's time to find out about Sean's new website.
How is it different to its previous incarnation, Mr. Cooney? What new things are on that website?
I've recently launched myself on a freelance basis again in the Northwest, predominantly. And I'm just having a good crack at being a professional storyteller, really, which has been fantastic. So I've got this. I've got my new looking website, and it's got lots of little clips of stories and like resources for teachers and practitioners, and lots of information about me. It's all good. I'm quite chuffed with it. I've got some weird publicity photos. So
all right.
My mate Andrew from Hartlepool, he said, oh, I'll take some photos for you over the summer. So I went up to Hartlepool. And I thought we'd get something like one of me like looking out to sea or something like that. And he said, oh, have you got any props? And I said, oh, I didn't think about props. He said, oh, I've got some books. I said, oh, well, no, it's like oral storytelling, really. I don't really want books. So I was at my dad's house and I had a quick rummage around in his loft and I found this old kettle and a wooden seagull on a stick.
Nice.
And so there they gave me props. So I've got these random photos of me like talking to the seagull and holding a kettle and in various poses. So
holding a kettle. The kettle was just because you had a kettle.
A kettle in one hand. Well, like an old fashioned.
Yeah, all right.
Kettle,
you know, yes. So it's like you're making the seagull a cup of tea and having a bit of a chat with it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was all a bit random. It seemed like a really good idea at the time, but I'm quite pleased with it. It looks quite arty, but
yeah.
I don't know what people will
just assume that you talk to inanimate objects, that your audience generally comprises a kettle and a seagull, I think. But there is videos of you on YouTube telling stories, isn't there, as well?
Yeah, so linked from the website, I've got my little YouTube channel up and going. Kind of a mix of folk tales and fairy stories. Some of them like Anansi, like kind of long poems, like rhymes, or others kind of more traditional. But I'm really keen to get into a bit of like adult storytelling. I don't mean like dirty stories.
From your bed.
Stories for adults.
We must talk about that.
I think some people get a bit put off when they see posters from an adult storytelling club.
Maybe, or they shouldn't be put off. I'm sure many people would actually enjoy that and just be very disappointed when they actually hear you talking about spiders and things like that. Excellent. Okay then, I think that'll probably do. Goodbye, Mr. Cooney.
Brilliant. Goodbye, Derek.
The youngest podcast that all the folk homies choose, with David Eagle, John Cooney and Matt Hughes, with highlights and gigs and guest interviews. We'll provide you with all the latest young'uns news. MC Squirt representing the young'uns. The Young'uns Podcast, baby! Motherfucker, yeah, that's the sound of the young'uns. The youngest podcast, baby, motherfucker. That's the sound of the youngest.
Thanks very much. Can you hear us all right at the back?
Yeah.
Sure. So no, we haven't got microphones or anything. Just a bit worried that I couldn't say.
No, have you? Hold on, Mr. Cooney. He's quick.
We're going to speak to Stu and Debs on the phone from Megson very shortly, but not before we hear from them musically. And we have a track from their new album, which is an album of children's songs. And we'll be speaking to them about that album after we've heard the first track from them, which is All the Shops Have Fallen Down.
Well, I went shopping to the baker's shop, but the baker's shop, it didn't have a lot. When I went shopping for a loaf of bread, the bread was hard as a lump of lead, lump of lead. Have fallen down. Well, I went shopping to the butcher's shop, but the butcher's shop didn't have much stock. When I went shopping for a pound of meat, the meat, it smelled like me grandma's feet. Grandma's feet, a pound of meat. There's not much stock in the butcher's shop. A lump of lead, a loaf of bread, there's not. Well, we spend our pennies and we save our pounds, till all the shops have fallen down. Well, I went shopping in the osiery, but the osiery, it wasn't good for me. Well, I went shopping for a pair of tights, the legs were full of fleas and mites, a pair of tights. Have fallen down. Well, I went shopping for the local man.
car and he needs to park it. So he's built us an out-of-town supermarket. Supermarket, car to park it. We went for the mayor, he was not there. Please and might, pair of tights. The orsery's no good for me. Grandma's feet, pound of meat. There's not much stock in the butcher's shop. Lump of lead, loaf of bread. There's not a lot in the baker's shop. Have fallen down.
Good evening.
Good evening, Stu. I like the way you did that. Is that how you normally do it, or is that your kind of voice that you've put on for the occasion?
That is my normal voice for answering the phone.
Oh, right.
Was it a good one?
It was charismatic. And yes. Probably enigmatic as well. It sounds like the start of Grease Lightning.
That's what I like to think myself as, charismatic and enigmatic.
Excellent, yeah. Stu. Excellent. So what, is Deb's there as well?
Yes, Deb's going to pick up the phone now.
Okay, so let's see how she answers the phone. Here we go. Has it got the same charisma? Was it the charisma and enigmatism that brought them together, perhaps? How does she answer the phone?
Hello.
Yeah, it's got something. I've got more of the je ne sais quoi about the way that you did that. So I think it's a perfect combination there, right? So then, shall we get straight into the nitty gritty? Because I mean, this banter is quite unlike us, isn't it, really, Stu? When we were producing the album, when you were producing our album, when our grandfather said no, it was a very professional atmosphere, wasn't it? We didn't really do much talking or anything like that. So
yeah, no distractions.
Exactly. So. Well, exactly. So be quiet. Let's get on with the interview, for goodness sakes, Stu. So, dear, what's it like? Maybe it's because you suddenly, I mean, there were no distractions and there was nothing like that, but maybe the reason you're being so effusive now, Stu, is because you've kind of found the inner child within you, and perhaps that's through making the children's album, you see. I've now cleverly linked it back to the interview there. Excellent. So, you will get a turn to talk, by the way, during this. It does happen time to time. Firstly, the name of the album, because we just heard all the shops have fallen down, so the name of the album is probably quite fitting to ask.
Oh, I can't hear you.
What's the name of the album, Stu? He used the bloody hell, he's a producer and he can't hear. Dear. Unbelievable, Stu. No wonder there's some dodgy edits. Right. What's the album called, Stu, that this is from?
The album's called When I Was a Lad.
Why a children's album? We've done the what? Why a children's album?
Why a children's album?
Did you not think I was going to ask you that?
We wanted to do another project. We had a certain amount of time on our hands, and at the same time, our minds were fairly preoccupied with becoming new parents. We wanted to do something, but Deb was just passing a bit of paper. Let's check. Oh. Debs, can you hear all right?
I can hear you.
Very quiet.
Oh. You're quite loud, Debs. We can't hear you. Can you turn yourself up?
Can I? What the... Oh, look. Hang on. I'll get closer to the microphone, to the phone. Hang on. I'll move the microphone. Now I'm going to picking up the microphone stand and moving that closer. Bloody hell, Stu. Do you?
Work.
He's got... I know. Just because he's a... This is the whims of a producer. So how did you decide then? You've decided what you wanted to do. How did you decide on the sort of the tracks to pick? Because you don't normally sing children's songs, I don't think, do you? So...
No, we don't. Deb?
Well, I guess it's kind of thinking back to what we might have sang when we were kids, and lots of research in various different folk books and asking other people what they used to sing when they were kids as well, and kind of getting a selection together that way.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good, because and I like the way, by the way, that you passed the bat on there, the awkward question. You passed the Debs.
That.
Very well done, Stu. Very good.
Well, at the moment, Debs is hiding in a different room. We were in the same room, but I don't know what I had for my dinner or something that's making and smell something, but she's left the room.
Well, perhaps it was the meat, that smelled like grandma's feet, which is an absolutely brilliant brilliant line in the album. Would it say that your grandma's feet are that bad, Stu? Is this, I mean, does your grandma listen to this and kind of get a bit...
I don't know, maybe it's one of Lola's grandmothers.
Perhaps.
My mother has a tendency not to change his socks every day, so it could be that.
Oh, my goodness! The exclusives!
It's usually me that gets in trouble with the mother-in-law. Now
didn't get that on Sky Arts, did you, everybody? Exactly, this is the Young'uns Podcast exclusives there. So what about the lyrical content of the album then? Because obviously, we're going to play two songs. We've heard All the Shops Have Fallen Down. But what kind of, what kind of range of subjects are we covering in this album then?
There's lots of animals on it. Kids like animals.
Yes.
And colours. They've got to learn the colours as well. And shopping. You see, all the shops have fallen down. Kids have got to learn about shopping.
Well, they do, but you've used words like orsery, which is, a bit of an archaic. You don't have orseries nowadays, do you?
Well, no, but then I suppose, you've got to teach them these old words.
I suppose.
There's one in Debenhams, I think. I think it's called that in Debenhams.
Is it?
The tight shop, I reckon it is nowadays.
All right.
Yeah, because I was thinking, because this is going to confuse children when they grow up. They're going to be like, I need a pair of tights, and they're going to be looking up, where's the orsery? And they don't find them, And okay.
They might end up at the garden centre, mightn't they?
Yeah, exactly. This could get very confusing for them. So, are you going to continue doing children's albums? Are there going to be an anthology? Or is this kind of just on a bit of a whim? You decided to do this.
I don't know, really. We may do more. I guess if people like it, I would say we would never do it again. I think there's definitely scope there for more material.
How do like audiences then? Like if you're performing in front of like adult audiences, not in that way, obviously. I mean, I know now and again you'll take a few clothes off, won't you, Stu? But you're performing in front of adults. How do they take to those children's songs then?
Well, I think the way we present it isn't in a particularly dumbed down way. Musically, it's interesting enough that regardless of the subject matter, that it's still entertaining. We would like to put on a show a bit as well, and I think that comes across in the songs. Hopefully,
when you say you like to put on a show, what on earth? What do? You don't get your grandma's feet out, and it's not a smelly vision, is it?
not yet, although it's an option.
Exactly, they make an appearance. I think that would be an excellent, maybe if like a homecoming gig, you could do that. That's absolutely brilliant. So how long did it take to like record an album of children's songs, and did you like try them out first on Lola, your daughter?
We started recording actually before she was born, so, and to be honest, we didn't do that. We did a bit of kind of like I guess market research or whatever, playing, trying them out, but not that much. We just.
So how did you do that? Did you like sort of just go up to a random child and just start singing a lump of meat and loaf of bread?
Yeah.
What are you doing, Matt? What are you doing with my daughter? Get off her!
Exactly. What we did. We wondered why we ended up in custody.
It was quite a delayed album, really, wasn't it? It was meant to be done 2 years ago, but. At this point, I'd like to ask you, is there anything that you'd hope that I would have asked as an interviewer? You think, well, this is you've completely overlooked. Before we move on to the riddle song. Obviously not, they're satisfied.
Is there anything we would have liked to have been
asked? Yeah, I don't want to.
I think you could have asked.
I could have, but you see this.
Well, how do you manage to sound so masculine as a singer?
Debs, how do you manage to sound so masculine as a singer? I think that's a terrible question there, Stu. Have you two had an argument or something? In separate rooms, making derogatory comments like that? That's unbelievable. So are you going to tour these children's songs?
Yeah, we are. We've got gigs coming up in the autumn and... through into next year as well, including some children's shows.
Well,
hopefully.
I was going to ask, are you doing any sort of, are you going into schools or doing anything like that?
Well, we're doing one at the Sage in Gateshead, and there's a possibility of a few others. And we're hoping next year with the festivals as well to maybe be able to do like some afternoon family concerts at festivals too.
Yeah,
that's the plan.
That would be really good.
Pushing concerts, called the pushing concerts, Deb. Kind of everyone sits around and on the floor and
Oh, you're obsessed with bloody percussion. This is what it was like, Debs, all the way through. We're in a three-part unaccompanied group, primarily, and this man, he says, the first day, I don't think we actually sang anything, we just stamped our feet. It was like, oh, here we go, we'll have to find the stamp sweet spot. And Stu just walked around the room for 20 minutes, like, going, oh, it's good there, but there's probably a better sort of reverberation over here. And then he kind of assessed the situation, went, actually, it might be better if we swap shoes, David.
These are, well, there was a bit of that, actually.
These are better for stamping.
I mean, me and Deb swap shoes sometimes.
Well, you didn't start suggesting we swapped other clothes as well, Stuart. And that was, you know, you couldn't. I thought it was a bit strange, to be honest. But
just enough my tights.
Yeah, well, get yourself down to the hosiery. Excellent. So we're going to play the riddle song then. So it's not the Nick Kershaw. Very disappointed about that. The riddle song's a traditional song, isn't it? I think. The riddle song? The song that you recorded on your album, the riddle song, is a traditional song.
What was the question? I couldn't hear you.
It's a traditional song, isn't it?
What is it? Yeah.
The riddle song! Yeah. The song that you sent me!
Yes, it is. It's a very old song as well.
Traditional songs generally are old. Yeah. There's a corollary there, you see.
We got our version from, it was one of the Social Sharp collected books, but there was an arrangement by Benjamin Britten, and it threw in some strange chords, like a piano arrangement, and it was quite interesting. Oh, that's good. And that kind of set us off thinking, oh, how can we do this a bit different? You know, we kind of like that semi kind of dark, harmonic flavour that Benjamin Britten puts into things, and that kind of inspired it. I think
it is a little bit kind of not necessarily eerie, but it's got a little bit of a sort of a dark thing about it. And you sing surprisingly in quite a low register there, Stu. Surprisingly masculine, unusually masculine.
It is, isn't it? Unusually
masculine.
I think he's put the key
on it
live now.
I think what he's doing is he's trying to you get yourself some steroids, some performance enhancing substances to do your children's album. That'll be setting a good example, wouldn't it? Excellent. Brilliant. Well, we're going to play this song now.
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you, Stu. Thank you, Debs. So we've assessed how you say hello. So how do you sign off? Should we start with you, Debs? So just say goodbye there and put the phone down.
Bye-bye.
Oh, something more jolly. And then, Stu, how do you do that?
How do I do it?
Yeah.
Letters, dude.
Notice there's a certain clumsiness about the way that you put down the phone.
You still there?
Yeah, no, I was just saying to the listeners, there's a certain clumsiness about the way that you put down the phone there. I think it must be those drugs that we were talking about earlier.
It's an old-fashioned phone.
Right, okay. The rest of the podcast, I could literally just stay on the line and you could get more and more annoyed as you try and make, calls.
I tried to call for a Chinese takeaway.
Excellent, Stu. Right, this time, I'm definitely going, my friend. So,
right. Brilliant.
Goodbye, Excellent. Stu.
Thank you. Goodbye. Bye.
Notice how when he thought we were off air, he sounded much less masculine, didn't he? Very effeminate there, because he thought we'd stopped recording for the podcast. He just, oh, goodbye, when he was late as dude, when he was on the podcast. Maybe it was when Debs left, he thought, I don't have to pretend to be masculine. I can be more feminine again and free. Maybe Debs is restricting him. Anyway, enough of that. Let's hear the riddle song, shall we? If you're not going to answer me, that's better. Thank you. Here's the riddle song.
I give my love a cherry that has no stones. I give my love a chicken that has no bones. I give my love a story. No crying. How can there be a cherry that has no stone? How can there be a chicken that has no bone? How can there be a story that has no one?
blooming, it has no stones. A chicken when it's pipping, it has no bones. The story of our love, it has no end. A baby when it's sleeping is no cry.
Song by Megson. I still think we should have, they should have gone for the Nick Kershaw version, but, you know, they'll rue the day that they didn't do that. They'll learn that the hard way, I think. Mike Harding. Well, I was going to play, a song from I'm trying to morph into Mike Harding, but it's very difficult. It's even more painful than morphing into MC Squared. I was going to play a song from Megson, from their new album. I was going to play the Riddle song, but I thought it was Nick Kershaw, but unfortunately it's not. So I'm not going to play that. After listening to that song there, I think Stu's trying too hard to be overly masculine. I think he's compensating for something. So we're not going to play that. We're going to play Nick Kershaw instead. Absolutely brilliant music. Absolutely brilliant music from Nick Kershaw. We should play Nick Kershaw every show. That just sounds nothing like Mike Harding, but I do a good Mike Harding impression now and again. Just not when anyone's listening. I pretend to be Mike Harding in the shower, actually. I won't tell you what else I get up to when I pretend to be Mike Harding. We'll move swiftly on. We're back to the Barn and Baston Folk Club in Peterborough. And during the halftime break at our gig in Peterborough, we came across the Barn and Baston comments book, which is where people write comments about issues running to the club, whether it be the folk club or other clubs that take place at the village hall. And we thought we'd have a peruse of the comments book and maybe read some of the more entertaining comments from the book out in the second half of our gig, which we did. And you can now hear us doing that as we return to Peterborough.
It's
revenge, really, because the Picnic, well, yeah. You know, we do like the Picnic Buster, but they have lofted our towns a bit, haven't they? I mentioned falling in love in Sunderland and everyone started wetting themselves.
The vomit was the best.
The vomit was Yeah, so we've done a bit of research into what goes on in Baston.
And it's not so clean. We look at this book here, which is
the Barn Comments book.
Racist places! Here we go, what have we got, Michael?
Don't worry, Michael, Alan's already paid us, don't worry.
Yeah. So let's have a look at some of these.
Oh, these are epic.
Please do not use my judo mats without asking first. My insurance will not cover any accidents and yours will not pay for any damage to my mats.
Merry Christmas.
See, in Gents Lou, broken again.
What have you been doing in there?
Stand steady on, Alan. But then I think there's another one, isn't there? Which is seeing ladies' loop broken again. And that's also by Alan.
Ladies'
loop broken. Alan. He's doing a whole
tour. Ladies' loop broken.
He's taking them off his list. He also goes to Spalding Folk Club as well. Does the same there, doesn't he?
Ladies'
loop
left in pretty good condition, but this is the best one. No soup in ladies' loop.
I'm going to take a sip from this.
from the Detroit movie. I love this one. This is the best one from Alan. Orange chairs, very, very dirty, dot, dot, dot. Have they been playing football with them again?
Is this one of those medieval village customs? You know, you play football with a sheep's head, they play it with chairs.
The last one just simply sums it up. It just goes, says the word, smelly.
Now, when was that written?
Oh, God, it was 18 months ago we were on, Michael.
So we have made a copy of that, which we'll be auctioning.
Exactly, yeah. How is it?
And that more or less concludes this week's Young'uns podcast. We're going to leave you in the capable hands of MC Squared. Thank you for listening. I just want to say that if you're listening to this before Saturday the 29th of September, or perhaps you're listening to this on Saturday the 29th of September, 4 o'clock, well, you might be lucky, although you might have, the chance might have run out by then, to be honest, because we may have sold out. I'm talking about our gig that we are doing on the Saturday the 29th of September at the Sage in Gateshead, in the Northern Rock Hall at the Sage in Gateshead. It is our album launch. I believe it starts at 7:30, although you obviously get there before that. You can call up the Sage to book tickets, or you can book it through the Sage website. Saturday, the 29th of September. And the sounds of MC Squared fade up. Thank you for listening to the Young'uns Podcast. We'll be back for the 111th Young'uns Podcast, when you can find out what the Young'uns' favourite sandwich is. From me, David Eagle, goodbye.
The Young'uns Podcast! The Young'uns Podcast! MC Squared representing the Young'uns Podcast. Keeping it in it real. Spinning the wheel. We're blazing, blazing. You're big enough. Make a move. Strike a pose. Blow your nose. Stone the crows. Strike the dog. Put the cat out. Open the window. Shut the door. Hang the window. Washing out to dry. Out of the frying pan. And into the fire. You know what I'm saying? Six of one and half a dozen of the other. Yo, yo. Love to your mother. This is MC Squared. Representing the Young'uns Podcast. MC Squared. Think you do the mess, mess.
The Young'uns Podcast. The Young'uns Podcast.